as a starting point, I think it's taking us somewhere. And I'm sure people think twice before they engage in such criminal activities. So while as conservationists, they've wanted it to be even higher than that. Because if you look at some of the sentences that are being passed on for those people that steal cattle, the cattle rustlers, probably 30 years or more. So they've wanted the same to happen.
Mr. Rodriguez, how do you see this sentencing?
I agree with Mr. Chisrayo. The big problem we've got is that the sentence is too lenient. They have to have deterrent and stiffer penalties for the people, the perpetrators, and the actual buyers too. I mean, it's not only the poachers itself. They're enticed by the monies being offered. So, you know, by coming up with a stiffer penalties and then going and targeting the people that are actually buying the ivory, those guys should actually get a death sentence as far as I'm concerned, because the using cyanide, it's a thing that's going to be hard to get rid of.
Mr. Zhiwayo, looking at this issue, as Mr. Rodriguez just pointed out, how can it be remedied in regards to fixing the watering holes that were poisoned?
Well, it's a big challenge. I think, as Mr. Rodriguez has pointed out, it takes a long time for cyanide to disappear from the environment. So I'm sure we should be able to brace ourselves to live with the after effects and impacts of this cyanide poisoning for some time to come.
Mr. Rodriguez, opening this issue of poaching, of course, government action is being called for by many. What, in your view, should government do in regards to this? And also, do you think they'll be able to pinpoint the big fish, per se, who are running this kind of ring?
Well, the thing is, you know, like we say, we know there's some chefs involved with this type of crime. You know, the it's a syndicate. It's a big thing that's going on. I mean, it happened with the rhino. It's happening to the elephant, and it's going to escalate. Like, the starting point is the stiffer penalties. Now, the other thing is, you know, it's going to cost money to actually fence the watering holes so that the other animals don't fall prey to it.
Mr. Zhiwayo, what laws are in place to assist those in environmental issues?
The laws, in my opinion, they are there. The Environmental Management Act, despite its shortcomings in terms of the penalties that are not, in our own opinion, deterrent enough. But I think, overall, it gives a very good framework. So having laws in place is one thing. Having them implemented or enforced is one other thing. So in my opinion, the problem doesn't really lie in terms of the laws. Of course, the law has some shortcomings, but even in its shortcomings, it is adequate if it is fully implemented, if it is fully enforced. So the problem is the enforcement. That is a little bit of a problem, in our opinion. Tax is short-staffed in terms of resources, that is human resources and also financial resources. If you compare with their counterparts in the region, for example, KwaZulu-Natal, where there's Umvelo, you begin to understand that in terms of resources, the way how those other departments are resourced compared to ours, I think it's a big concern.
Mr. Rodriguez, another issue that opens up when we're looking at this is the human conflict that occurs with animals. What is being done to remedy that situation?
See, a lot of these is just because of mismanagement. Where animals, if you're going to have encroachment of humans, the animals should be removed from those areas. The bigger national parks, where there is the community, the rural areas, I believe these people are being denied the resources or a percentage or levy because they could be the corridor. And if we spend quite a few finances, you know, financially educating, which is lacking. A lot of people don't know anything about the environment or the wildlife.
Mr. Zhiwayo, same question to you, but also in assisting people to understand what can they do to deal with such issues of animal encroachment in their areas.
Indeed, it's a fact that there has increased the encroachment, and especially after the South Shake Land Reform Program, because some of these people ended up settling areas that are designated for wildlife. So yes, that's a fact. And that's why we have the Communal Areas Management Program for Indigenous Resources, basically to try and help out communities so that we try and compensate them for the losses that they suffer from living with wildlife and all those problems that it causes, the death, the destruction of field crops, the destruction of livestock. So yes, the question is, are they getting those benefits that should be trickling down to them? So if they don't see any incentive for living with wildlife, I think that increases the likelihood of poaching.